It's good to see you. We are carrying on this evening a series going through the book of Ephesians that we started some time ago, and we're carrying on walking our way through it with a particular focus on identity. Realizing that identity is a big issue for many of us, big issue for our society. Lots of people asking, who am I? And asking where they can find their identity. And really the emphasis of this series has been not to look on the inside, but maybe to consider finding our identity outside of ourselves. So much of our society, so much of our culture tells us, if you want to find yourself, just look within. Just be true to yourself. If it feels good, kind of do it. And that emphasis on this hero kind of lying inside of ourselves. And that worries me. If that's the answer, that worries me, because a lot of what goes on the inside of me isn't stuff I really want to spend time looking for my identity in. But actually, if my identity is outside of myself, in somebody far bigger, far greater, far stronger than outside of myself, then actually there's a lot more confidence there to help me find my identity. So that's what we've been doing. We've been looking outside of ourselves. And the passage in Ephesians that we're looking at tonight is Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. So if you want to turn to that now, if you've got one of the church Bibles, it's on page 1175. And really tonight, I guess the thing we're going to be thinking about is that our identity, my identity, is found in unity, diversity and maturity. Some heavy stuff tonight. Fair warning, we are going to look at a lot of things. And I'm going to get you doing your fair share of work tonight. Looking at scripture, chatting to one another, and we're going to work this through together. Ephesians 4, 1 to 16 says this. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given, as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captive and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's a lot there. Strap in. Here we go. Right. First thing I want us to think about is, I'm sure you've noticed this in life. Maybe it's just in with your housemates, with your family, with people in church, that we all see life very differently, don't we? We all see life very differently. Just to sort of show that, optical illusions are great examples of that, because we all see things very differently. Who sees a rabbit? One or two. Who sees a duck? Yeah, quite a lot of it. You can see a duck or a rabbit, depending on which way you look at it, kind of left to right. Oh, this is the famous one, isn't it? Who sees? There's an old lady or a young lady, depending on which way you look at this image. Who sees an old lady? Who sees a young lady? Who can't see anything at all? There is a young lady kind of turning her head to one side if you look, and there's an older lady with a long nose and kind of chin there. In there. I found this one this week. This is interesting. I wonder what you see. There's just some random kind of lines on the screen there. I wonder how you view it. There's about three or four different ways to view this, depending on how you see it. So there you go. There's the ambiguous images. Some people see alphabet letters. Who saw a K and a B? Yeah, so quite a few of us. Who saw like a reflection? Kind of, you've cut it in half. Adrian saw it as a complete reflection. And then some people will see it as numerical digits. So one is less than 13. Depending on how you see life and how you do it. We all see things kind of very differently. And some of us are going, what? How can you see numbers? Who would have seen numbers? Some of us are going, yeah, I saw numbers. And, you know, we just see things kind of differently, you know, because we're wired up differently. This is my favourite, to show just how differently we see things. You know, because who's right? Who's right? It's just perspective, isn't it? We all see things very differently. And that's okay. And that's okay. We are created differently. The world isn't great at this at the moment, is it? Because actually, the world as a whole says if we see things differently, we should kind of have a bit of a go at one another, especially on social media, and kind of have a dig, and we'll just stick with people who see things the same way as I do. And the world as a whole is becoming way more tribal. Just staying and spending time with people who think the same, whether that's politics, whether it's music, whether it's religion, whether it's gender, whether it's the whole realm of different things. We tend to just stick with people who are like us. But it's okay. We've been given different personalities by God. Listen, God doesn't want to change your personality. The way that you see things, that's all right. That your personality is absolutely fine. God has got a lot of work to do on our characters. That's something completely different. But God doesn't want to change our personalities, the uniqueness, diversity, particularly in the church, is a good thing. The church has got a lot to say to our society by being a diverse group of people who still choose to do life together. And in Paul's day, it was the same. In Paul's day, as he wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus. In fact, if you look at a lot of Paul's writings, he often emphasizes unity within the church, because he realized, even back then, that there was a lot of difference within the church. Look at what he says here in what we read in verses 1 to 3. As a prisoner for the Lord. He was in chains at this point. He was a prisoner in Rome. Then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, Paul's writing to this church in Ephesus, a diverse group of people with different backgrounds. You know, in Ephesus, at this time, the church was made up of, there's a load of Greeks who had come to faith, but who kind of had a background worshipping different idols, particularly Artemis, who was the goddess that was worshipped massively in Ephesus at that time. So all these people coming from a background, and there was in Ephesus as well, it was like a centre for kind of magic and witchcraft and all that kind of stuff. So all these people kind of bringing all that stuff and a background in that into the church. There were Jews as well, who were cultural Jews and religious Jews who came into the church with all of that background as well. Plus, Ephesus was just a centre for trade, so there were thousands of people travelling through. It was a whole mixture of people. There were people in the church going, "It's six! It's six!" There were a whole load of other people going, "No, it's nine! It's nine!" Just because they carried all this baggage and all these different ways of viewing things. And so Paul writes here, be completely humble and gentle. If someone says it's a six and you think it's nine, that's right, just be humble, be gentle, be patient, bear with one another in love. All those easy things to do. All those easy things to do in your household with one another. Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. All those easy things to do in the life of a church. Is it? It's hard, all these things. I love how Paul writes here, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. See, it's real, isn't it? When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that God puts his Holy Spirit within us. Anyone, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. A transforming work takes place within us, doesn't it? We're a new person. But I love how honest Paul is. He still says to these people who have the Holy Spirit within them, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. You are a new creation. You are new people in Christ. But he says, actually, your identity is people of effort, people who strive for unity with one another. Work at it. It's hard work sometimes, living in unity with one another. I looked earlier on and just did a search. Anybody use Bible Gateway online? It's a great website if you don't use it. It's got all the Bibles. It's a great resource for searching for different things. And I just looked in Paul's letters, and I looked, how many times does Paul talk about unity to the church in the New Testament? It's three sides of A4. The numbers of times, the number of references, it's over 20 times that Paul writes to the church and says to them, be united, get on with one another, you know, prefer one another. Different points, he says things like this. He says, strive for full restoration with one another. He says, therefore, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace. Another time, he says, bear with each other, forgive one another. He says, be like-minded. Don't be proud, don't be conceited, and so on, and so on, and so on. Why? Because he knows it takes effort. Our identity has to be men and women of unity, who look for the best in one another, who look to what we have in common. Look at what he goes on to say. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then in verse 4, he says this, there's one body, there's one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all. In other words, Paul's saying here, he says, do you know what? Yeah, you've got differences, but we've got more in common. There's far more in common than we have that divides us. Now, back in June 2016, something shocking happened in British politics. I don't know if you remember this, but the Labour MP, Jo Cox, she was the MP for Batley and Spen. Do you remember this? A guy went to meet her and shot her and stabbed her, and she died. And it kind of rocked kind of the UK, quite rightly so, rocked kind of British politics. And her sister, Kim Ledbetter, actually just spoke really passionately at the time about her sister and who she was. And in fact, Kim went on to take her seat and is now an MP, where her sister was MP. But I don't know if you remember this, but Kim said, quite soon afterwards, she said, we are far more united and have far more in common than that which divides us. Yeah, and she was saying, yeah, you could see this, the attack on her sister, as being a call to kind of kick anybody out of the country who might think differently and to kind of lock our doors. She says, we are far more united, we have far more in common than that which divides us. You could almost drop that into Paul's letter here, couldn't you? As he says, be united, be humble, be gentle, be patient. There's one God, there's one Father over all, there's one baptism, there's one faith. We are far more united and have far more in common than that which divides us. Unity is part of our identity. There's a little question there that you can work on. That's something to think on. Where do I need to make an effort to see somebody else's point of view? Where do I need to work on? Who do I need to make an effort with to be united with, whether in the church or outside of the church? He goes on, and these are the next verses. He says this, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. To each one of us, he starts to explain that God has given us these graces or gifts. We could easily use the word gift there instead of grace, but it's a gift of grace to each one of us. It's a part of our identity is that you and I are also gifted people. And he says that these gifts have been given to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. In other words, having talked about unity, Paul now starts to say there's a diversity of gifts and graces that have been given to everybody in the church. These are, you might have heard these talked about or read about them in different places. These are what are called the fivefold ministries that God has given to the church. Gifts that are for each one of us. It says that, doesn't it? It says to each one, grace has been given. They're for everybody. They're gifts to help lead the church, to equip the church, he says in verse 12, for works of service. These are gifts. These are diverse gifts that God gives his church. And for some people, they're gifted to be an apostle. And the word apostle literally means sent one. In fact, it's a Roman word. The Romans had apostles. And the Romans, when they invaded a land or a city, they would send apostles into the city. And these were men, because it was men then, who were sent, who knew the Roman culture inside and out, who lived and breathed what it was to be Roman. And so they would send groups of apostles, Roman apostles, into cities to go ahead, to kind of set the culture and to start. So Sally used the word, there's something about pioneering in it. Absolutely. And so the Bible uses that same word to talk about men and women who are kind of focused a bit on the future, always looking for ways to extend God's kingdom and to grow it and to see things grow. So that kind of pioneering spirit. If you like, do you remember that thing called the pandemic? Yeah, do you remember that? Yeah. Yeah. The apostles during the pandemic, people who had an apostolic heart, were kind of going, kind of, what can we do to use this situation? Yeah? What can we do to use it? How can we, especially apostles in the church were saying, kind of how can we can't come back the same from the pandemic. You know, what can the church be doing? How can God's kingdom grow even in the face of a pandemic? So always looking to the future, always looking for something new. What's next? An apostle will say, kind of, what's next? What's the next thing? A prophet is focused on listening to God and being his mouthpiece. It's a special gift, a special ability to hear God. And then to not just hear, but to speak it. That's really important. And to share it with other people. what is God saying? I want to share that. And there's an encouragement there with that. But it can be a warning as well. But it's never condemning. It's never condemning because God doesn't condemn. So if you hear somebody who says they're a prophet and there's a lot of finger pointing going on, and a lot of, oh, you're terrible people, they're probably not a prophet. But if there's somebody who's pointing people towards God, encouraging, warning maybe sometimes, then that's good. An evangelist focused on wanting to communicate the gospel and seeing people saved. As Claire, I like Claire's definition, they just can't shut up about Jesus. I think that's a better definition than that. But again, evangelist, that's a Roman word as well. The evangelists were the people who were sent back from the battlefield to give the result. Normally, when it's Rome, that they had won. And they were the first person, they would start to run, and they would be the first person back to Rome to say, we've won, good news, we've won. Yeah, and it's that same picture of somebody who goes out and shares the good news of Jesus. A shepherd, and I've changed it to shepherd here, I prefer this term shepherd to pastor, because like we hear pastor and we think they lead a church. They don't always have to, but a shepherd is focused on loving, caring, directing, and building the church and growing disciples. And you think about the role of a shepherd. What does a shepherd do for the sheep? He feeds them, or they feed them, keep them safe, guards them, yeah, looks after them. Kind of says. So a shepherd in the church during the pandemic wasn't saying, what can we do? It was going, how do we look after everyone? How do we make sure they're still disciples? How do we still teach? How do we still look after them? There was that kind of emphasis on it. And teachers are focused on God's word and wanting to see people understand it. So Paul recognises that there needs to be a call for unity in the church. But he also says, do you know what? There's great diversity within gifts as well. And our identity as disciples, as followers of Jesus, is embracing that diversity. And maybe looking at this list and saying, which one do I lean to? Which one does it excite me? Which one do I see? And it can be in the church, but also these gifts are used out on our front lines as well. So it could be that for some of us in our workplaces, we're a bit of an apostle. And we've got that apostle spirit within us. And we're always looking to push the group that we're working for forward. You can be a prophet in the workplace, always speaking about justice and mercy and things that are right and true. Evangelists, they're the salesmen, aren't they? You know, who go out and sell for companies and have that evangelist heart. Shepherd and teacher, maybe more obvious. But they're all needed within the body of Christ. I wonder, how could you see these different gifts working well together? And how could you see these gifts clashing sometimes? All these are obviously great gifts and great, they're graces, they're strengths, but it's like anything, isn't it? Our gifts, if they're turned up too loud, start to distort, don't they? You know, like an amp or like a speaker, you know. And comes back to what there's this diversity here, but it shows us what Paul was saying at the start there about we need unity. Be humble, be gracious, be patient with one another. That you've got great diversity in the body. And this is where Beverly's right on, because at the end of that passage, and we'll come to it in a moment, there's the picture of the body, you know, kind of Jesus' body, the church, working well together. You know, and it's a bit like us saying, well, which is more important or which is, you know, more prominent, your eye or your ear? You know, or your right hand or your left hand. It's all needed. It's all needed. There's got to be unity there. You've got to protect it. These are great gifts that are given to us. Some people teach on this, and, you know, you could go and have a look at it, the fivefold ministries, and they'll say it's for the leaders. These are the people who lead the church. And I think you do need these people in your leadership team, you know. And I think, you know, here at The Free, we look as much as possible to have apostles and prophets and evangelists, shepherds and teachers within our leadership team. But don't forget what it says here in Ephesians 4. It says, to each one, to everyone is given a grace. And I believe that actually in the body of Christ, that all of us can lean in different ways to these gifts. And for some, and I'd love you to go away and just think, where am I gifted? Now, what excites me? You know, is, have I got an apostolic gift that God, have I got a prophetic gift? A gift of an evangelist, gift of a shepherd or a pastor or a teacher. Or maybe there's one or two. Often for us, for a lot of people, there's one or two that you kind of lean towards. I'd say allow the Holy Spirit to encourage you on your front line or wherever you are, but also within the church as well. Look to serve. Look to use your gifts in that way. Because of what he goes on to say. And that's the last bit. So we've looked to unity. We've looked to diversity. And the last thing that Paul talks about is maturity. And he says this, so Christ himself, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, this is Beverly's thing, works, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So our identity is in unity. It's in embracing the diversity of gifts. Why? So that we become mature. Sounds nice, doesn't it? You're looking at me going, Mark, when's that going to happen to you? But we need it. It's all there. It's all there. These gifts are given and the unity is given so that the body of Christ is built up. That we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. It's a picture of the church growing as disciples, as apprentices of Jesus. And we need one another. We need the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers. And we need all of us to be guarding the unity so that we grow in maturity. So we grow up into the individuals and the church that God has for us. I love this picture that Paul then paints. He said, because there's a danger, if we don't, that we can stay as infants. And then the other picture, is some mixed metaphors going on here, aren't there? There's the picture of infants, kind of little kids, and then there's all this kind of rudderless ship that's being tossed back and forth by the waves. The danger, he says, is if we don't have the unity and the diversity of gifts, that we stay as infants. And you know, kids are gullible, aren't they? You know, if you've got children, you can tell them anything, you know, and they might believe it. I found this week: top fibs parents tell their children because they can be gullible. Yes, we're almost there. We've run out of biscuits, sweets, crisps, fizzy drinks. Where is the ice cream van? Plays music when it's run out of ice cream. I like that one. If you do a wee in the swimming pool, the water's going to turn green, purple. That was that one you used, yeah. Smoke alarms are Father Christmas's spy cameras. I like that one. I wish I'd use that. The tooth fairy is only strong enough to carry 50p. I don't see our replacement batteries for that toy. The internet gets turned off at 7 o'clock every night. But kids are. Yeah, we know that kids are gullible. They, on the whole, they'll believe anything. And there's that picture of Paul saying, actually, if you don't have that unity, if you don't have that diversity of gifts in the body, you're just going to believe anything. The danger, you might believe anything. Or you'll be that rudderless ship, kind of just going with the flow. And do you know what? Culture and society, and out there, there's so many lies. There's so many things that we're being told, particularly about our identity. Just look inside yourself. Just find it in yourself. What a pressure that is to put on someone. There's so many lies. But Paul says, actually, as these gifts are growing the church, as unity grows in the church, you're not just going to be like an infant believing anything. You're not just going to be like a ship that goes anywhere. Paul wants the church to become mature, to become wiser, more perceptive, recognising false teaching and leading us in the right way. So we need that unity. We need that diversity of gifts. So you get this lovely little equation out of this passage, that unity plus diversity equals maturity. This is our identity as individuals. This is our identity as Jesus' church. That we protect, we cherish that unity. We embrace the diversity of gifts that God has. And when we recognise those gifts in one another, rather than getting jealous or competing and clashing, we go, that's great, you're an apostle. Keep doing it. Keep being more apostle-y. That's great, you're a prophet. Keep doing it. Even when we get it wrong or when it doesn't quite work the way. That's great, you're an evangelist. Keep doing it. Keep getting out there. Don't shut up about Jesus. Keep telling people. You're a great shepherd. Yeah, when we see that, cheer people on in it. Encourage them. Build them up. I love the passion you have for Jesus' church. I love how you feed us. I love how you look after us, how you care for us. I love how you teach. Keep teaching. You're so creative in how you do that. If you communicate in such a good way, keep teaching. We shun any sort of competition and we cheer one another and then we grow in maturity as Jesus' church. And we grow in every way more and more like Christ. And that's the good news, isn't it? That's the good news. As we do this, as we're more united, as we cheer on those diversity of gifts, as we seek to grow in them, we become mature. And it's not just becoming mature, it's growing more and more like Jesus, who is the head of the body, the church. Who are we? How do we find ourselves? We can look to Jesus' church, where he is. He lives in his church. He lives in each one of us. Our identity is in unity. It's in diversity. It's in that maturity.